Awesome. Thank you. My name's Sarah and I'm an alcoholic. And my sobriety, I always share my sobriety date when I speak. And so my sobriety date is April 27, 2010. And I always share that because when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I had no intention of staying sober. I was there because I landed there because the court system had deemed me an alcoholic and I wasn't quite sure that I was at that time. I don't want to go too much into my what it was like, because I feel like I have so much time in recovery that it's important to share like what it's like now so that people who maybe don't have as much time can see, you know, that even though I have lengths of sobriety, I'm still an alcoholic and there's definitely still program that needs to be worked on in my life. So I was 25 when I got sober. I had gotten two DUIs by the time I was 25, and the court system had s decided that I was an alcoholic, and I was convinced that I only got in trouble those two times. So really, how did the judge know what I was like? So I have always been a binge drinker. I have always been a blackout drinker. I have drank alcoholically from day one. I just managed to keep my life somewhat manageable, I guess you could say, or what the outside world would consider manageable, you know. And I still had a job, I still had friends, I still had a house, I still had all the normal materialistic things that you think that you lose when you're told you're an alcoholic, or at least that was my experience. I had no idea what a real alcoholic was. I thought it was, you know, the homeless person living under the bridge who had lost everything. And so since I hadn't lost everything, I wasn't sure that I was an alcoholic. So I was court ordered to treatment and basically was forced to spend 30 days into a detox facility or a rehab facility where I had nothing else to do but to look at myself. And that is when I started to learn that my behaviors of drinking, my ideas of drinking, my reasons for drinking, all of those things were not normal. And that normal people can just put down a drink and don't, you know, and can go on about their life. I can't do that. Got my first DUI when I was 22 years old and thought I better stop because I don't want to be an alcoholic. And so I put all these stipulations on my drinking. And so it was like, as long as I follow these rules, just like the big book says, but as long as I follow these rules, then I'm not an alcoholic. And so I did those for a long time until I didn't. And then I would just make excuses as to why I would break those rules and kind of redistribute what my standards were. And so that went on for a little while. I got into trouble again. I ended up in detox. At that time, my best friend had overdosed and was in treat or not in treatment, but in the hospital. And I remember telling her, "You need to get help. You need to do whatever you need to do to not, you know, to stop drinking and drugging." And so that year that before I got sober, she had gotten into Alcoholics Anonymous and her life had drastically changed. And I fully believe that God placed Christina in my life so that I could see somebody get sober and stay sober and see the what the program could do. Because by the time I was needing to get sober, there was no doubt in my mind that Alcoholics Anonymous could do something for someone. I just wasn't sure that I needed that thing. So when I got out of treatment, I was told that treatment gets you sober, Alcoholics Anonymous keeps you sober. I was willing to do anything necessary to not go to jail again. That was not an experience I ever wanted to have ever again. So if you told me I needed to go to Alcoholics Anonymous, I would have gone. So I did. So I went to AA and I thought, I'm just going to give AA a try. I have a year of probation. I don't want to go to jail. So I'll do, you know, I'll just kind of do what I'm supposed to do, if you will. And I did that and I started working the steps and I got a sponsor because I had a friend in recovery telling me I needed to do all these things. And I didn't want to. I told her she needed to do all these things, work the steps, get a sponsor. I had no idea what any of that stuff meant. I just knew that she needed to do whatever AA had told her. So when it was time for me to get sober, I was told that now it's time for me to do these things. So I kind of had to eat my own words. And so I did those things and my life started to change. And I did that for a couple months, and life gets good pretty quickly, I feel like, or at least emotionally. And so I stopped working the steps. And I always share that because It's so imperative for me to be working a program of Alcoholics Anonymous and not just showing up for meetings, because when life happens, if I don't have that solution, then it's only a matter of time before the drink starts to become the solution again, or becomes appealing to not feel those feelings, you know, because I still, 15 years in recovery, still struggle with feelings, you know? And so when I wasn't really doing what I was supposed to, I was just kind of showing up for meetings and just the bare minimum. And my ex-boyfriend from high school overdosed and died, and I was 3 months sober. And I remember just feeling so uncomfortable in my own skin and thinking, there's no way that people in recovery feel the way that I feel right now and stay sober. My sponsor had 20 years at the time, and I just remember thinking, there's no way that she has lived life feeling this way for the last 20 years. Nobody would stay sober, you know? So I thought, all right, I have the rest of the year for my probation. I'll just dive into Alcoholics Anonymous and give it my all. And if it doesn't work, then when my probation is up, I'll just go back to my life before. And I was sincere, as honest and truthful with myself as I could be with that statement. I didn't do AA perfectly. I'm not, you know, the perfect model, but I did get uncomfortable in recovery and did those steps and to the best of my ability, you know. And when I started to do those things, my life started to change. I really started to lose all of those insecurities that I had my whole life, you know. The reason I chased the drink or self-medicated or whatever you want to call it to not feel, the solution of Alcoholics Anonymous started to give me those things that I had chased in a bottle, and I didn't even know that that's what I was doing, you know, until I got sober. And one of the biggest things that has been the most important for me has always been service work. And so those first couple years of sobriety, I got really involved in Alcoholics Anonymous. I sponsored people, I chaired meetings, I took meetings to rehabs. I was taught that you never say no to AA unless you have a valid, you know, legitimate reason to say no. And so whenever I have been asked, and that's been true up until today, whenever I've been asked to do any type of service work, if there is not a prior commitment, then I always say yes, you know. And whenever I do those things and get outside of myself and do the stuff that I don't want to do is usually when my life starts to get better. So I guess I'll just want to kind of share a little bit about how what my life is like today, you know. I'm so blessed beyond belief. Like it blows my mind sometimes when I sit back and think of where my life is today and where it was in, you know, 2010. And everything that I have today, I would have never even dreamed of when I first got sober, you know. And they always say, don't stop before the miracle happens. And that's like one thing that always rings true. But I will say this. So I have gone through bouts of sobriety where I have been all in, doing as much as I can, you know, being of service as I can, working with my sponsor, working the steps, doing all of those things. And then there's been bouts of my sobriety where I'm just kind of like, ah, I got a little busy. Life happens, you know. I get these wonderful things in my life, and now all of a sudden I don't have as much time for AA, you know? And I don't recommend that because at 10 years of sobriety, one of my sponsees, who was a dear friend of mine, passed away from a drug overdose. And I don't know why, but for whatever reason at that point in my life, I didn't have much reliance on my higher power. And so when that happened, and I didn't even know it, everything else seemed so fine. Everything else seemed so normal. It was, you know, I was living life. I was going to meetings. I was sponsoring somebody. We were working the steps. I had a couple sponsees at the time. But when she died, it was like my entire world flipped upside down. And I got resentful at God, and I got resentful at AA, and I just kind of ran and hid. And at 10 years of sobriety, I just remember feeling so uncomfortable in my skin and thinking, this is how I felt when I had 30 days of sobriety, you know? And I felt more uncomfortable at 10 years than I did when I first got sober when I was sitting in rehab. And I remember thinking, I feel like a drink would make things better more than I did you know, when I first got sober, and that scared me. And so I fully believe it was my higher power, but something inside me told me, get back to the basics and do what you did when you first got sober. And all that I kept hearing was, do the uncomfortable to get comfortable. And that's what I was told in early sobriety. And so I changed home groups. I got a new sponsor. I started going to different meetings. And the home group that I have today is the home group that I went and changed to. And it was a women's meeting. And I was 10 years in my sobriety and my recovery before I had even stepped foot in a woman's meeting. And at that point, for whatever reason, God pushed me into the women's meeting, and it was exactly what I needed. And God saved me. And those women of Alcoholics Anonymous, yet again, were there and ready to do whatever I needed to get through that stuff. And I started working those steps again, and I started to learn, and that's where I learned that my reliance on my higher power just wasn't there. And it was like, I've always had a belief, but I didn't trust that, that my life was going to be taken care of, to some extent. And so I really started to dive into that seeking my higher power, and it's every year it's always evolved, but that was probably a big turning point for me in realizing that my higher power has to be in control, and fast forward another couple years, and here I am again, re getting uncomfortable because things aren't going my way. And these past couple months, I've been dealing with some physical pain and chronic physical pain, and it's exhausting and wearing and tiring, and it's stopping me from doing things that I want to do, and I had to get back into the step work because that's where the solution is for me, and when I surrender, then everything gets better, and I'm definitely not physically better, but I'm starting to feel better, and it happens whenever I turn my life over to my higher power. And that doesn't mean it's always comfortable, but it's like whenever I get to that place of acceptance, that's when life, starts to get better, my perspective changes. And all my sponsor has been telling me the last 6 months of my life is powerlessness, powerless, 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 and it every year it's like a different depth of powerlessness. When I first got sober, I thought just putting down the drink and saying that I couldn't have one drink successfully was all getting sober was about. And it was so far from the truth. Alcohol was just the band-aid to cover up the issues. I was sharing with somebody else, and we were talking about my life was almost manageable when there was drinking, but then when you took the drinking away, because that was how I coped with life, my life became really unmanageable, And so if I am in recovery, or if I'm sober and dry and don't have that solution, then my life again becomes really unmanageable, and it gets really, really sticky and uncomfortable, and I don't like it. And while the drink may put that band-aid on it, Alcoholics Anonymous and my higher power have been the solution to take those things away from me, and to actually make me feel better and give me that relief and that ease and comfort that I had searched for my whole life. I am forever, forever indebted to Alcoholics Anonymous because my life is beyond my wildest dreams. My father passed away 2 years ago, and I was able to leave my job in 2011 and start working for them, and spend from 2011 to 2023 with my dad, walking hand in hand with him, learning how to run his business and continue his legacy, and spend all those years with him. When I first got sober, I thought I was going to go to grad school, move away, and start this life that I had planned. And God saw things differently, and I look back now and I'm just so grateful that I got to spend those years with my dad, and it's the little things like that that I had no idea that were so important. If you would have told me when I was 25 years old that, being able to have that relationship with my dad today and being able to walk him through his end of life and be there with him and move him into my house and take care of him the way he took care of me as a child, it would be the best gift that I could ever be given, and I would have been like, no, I just want to do the whatever I have planned, and God's plans are always so much bigger and so much better than mine, and I just want to touch, I guess, I don't know how much time I have left, but I just want to touch base real quick, and say that When I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I had no idea what my higher power was. I was raised Jewish, but we were not really super religious or practicing. And I was a little weirded about the whole God thing, but I remember somebody telling me it was my conception of God, and I could deal with that, you know. And I still get a little funny when it comes to organized religion, but because Alcoholics Anonymous has been open and welcoming of people like that, I have been able to stay sober and been able to build a relationship with my higher power that doesn't have to be whatever anybody else is, you know. And I think that's such a beautiful thing, and I think that's important to share because a lot of us come in and then get back to our faith that we were raised in, or find a faith, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think it's important for me to share that it doesn't always have to be, you know, what everybody else's norm is. And when I got told that I didn't have to be put in the same box as somebody else, that was like earth shattering for me. And it really just opened up the ability for me to have that relationship that I never knew I was even possible. And I guess I'm gonna stop there. I don't know how much time is. I guess we still have 4 minutes, but that's okay. I think I'm done. My higher power is telling me I'm done. So thank you guys for letting me be here tonight. I'm super grateful and appreciative of being asked. It was an honor. Thanks.